right, 1 Peter chapter 4 in your Bibles. First Peter chapter 4. Been a while since we've been here, since we just had our missions month. But it is good to see all the Rossignols. My soul, y'all been down the highway, haven't you? But everybody getting well. That's good. Little Lindley doing okay. Oh, amen. All right, very good. We've read this one time before, but I think certainly we should do it again since we have had sort of a break in our study here in 1 Peter. So beginning in verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 4, we'll read down through the chapter. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Now just think about that. I have that underlined in my Bible. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Now, it's been a while, as I pointed out, so there's a couple of things I want to repeat here that will help us with the setting here and what the apostle's trying to tell us here. Okay, there are seven of them that's included in this these closing verses of the chapter. First, as we read there in verse 12, do not think it strange when you suffer persecution. I don't know that I've ever preached to anyone that has suffered persecution for the cause of Christ. That can be looked upon as it's a good thing if you don't suffer persecution. But I'm just wondering if we're taking the stand we ought to take in light of this ungodly world that's been mentioned here two or three times tonight. The light's not going to get any brighter if me and you don't get brighter. Hello? So, you know, our testimonies has a lot to do with that. But if we take a stand against certain things and it's not going to be easy living if you just take the stand you ought to stand, where you ought to stand. You really won't. Then secondly, he says in verse 13, and I want to read this verse again, but rejoice in as much as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Rejoice in the persecution. If I know I'm doing right, or you know you're doing right, you can rejoice in it. Why, if you're on the winning side and you're living victoriously for the Lord, there's no need to sit down and suck your thumb. Live right. Do right. Oh, I wish, you know, that every Christian in the day now that we're living, some of you have been exposed to some of the early history of our Christian forefathers and all that they went through and all that they suffered just because they took a stand and wouldn't do what the world wanted them to do. People go out here today and we all have to work. And you get a job, and instead of taking a stand and compromise and do what they want you to do there at work. And you know when they are telling you all of this, that it's going to cost you if you don't conform. Boy, that's not a good word when it comes to the subject I'm speaking about now. God has never said in this book that you and I, he says, be not conform to this world. But be ye transformed, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I don't expect the world to understand why I live the way I live. Of course, most Christians today, they don't live in such a way as to get people stirred up. They decided they're going to look more like the world than a child of God. Bodies are temple of the Holy Spirit, and we need to realize that and act accordingly. Then thirdly, know God's Spirit, that a glow of God's glory rests upon us. Now, I'm not saying we're to shine like a light bulb, but I have known people down through the years, and some of them have been right here in this church. You could tell by the way they live and the way they conduct themselves that they're living for God and rejoicing in the things of the Lord. Taking a stand. That's in verse 14. Then in verse 15, do not bring suffering and persecution upon ourselves. You know, we need a lot of wisdom to live for God. Do you know that? We really do. We need wisdom to be able to live for God. The other day, I think I might have shared with you. I don't know. I think I did, though. But this part of it, I want to. And we had talked. I met my neighbor that his daughter's building a new home there near me. And so I stopped. And, you know, you meet a stranger, and he was. And I think I might have told the bus workers. It doesn't matter. I'm going to repeat it anyway, okay? But anyway, we talked a little while. Just a nice guy as you ever want to meet. He got off his tractor. He's working on the driveway, the entrance there to the house. And I said, I am so sorry. I said, I haven't even asked you your name. He said, my name is Williams. I said, really? And of course, I told him my name was Williams. We just had a great exchange of having a good time there. And then the next thing, I told him who I was and what I did. He said, you're kidding? He said, sure, we see the church all the time. I invited him. And I said, could I ask you, Mr. Williams, a question? He said, sure. I said, are you a child of God? He said, yes, sir. I've been saved for years. And then the fellowship just got sweeter. I said, now, I'm going to be looking for a church. He said, you keep looking because I'm coming. Well, you know, if I never stopped and never talked to the man, I wouldn't have made the friend that I made. I really believe he is. And I stopped by their house the other day to return their flower jar that they had given us. They have a hothouse there, and they got some beautiful flowers in that place. It's enclosed, and of course, all this cold weather is not bothering it. It's sun during the day, and it's warm in there, I'm sure. But he brought us a little jar of those, some of the most beautiful flowers I've ever looked at. I mean, they raise them to sell them. And but anyway, we just want to live for the Lord, do what God would have us do, and God will bless us as a result. And then in verse 16, number 5, do not be ashamed to suffer for being a Christian. And we've said enough there. Number 6, accept persecution as a purifying judgment of God. You know, I've had some not really bad experiences, 2 or 3 maybe, in all these years when we used to be able to just go knock on doors and people would invite you in and you'd go in and have a good time of conversation and about the family. And then you'd get around to talking about the Lord and asking them if they knew Christ and all of that. but there are some that took exception to that. They said, I think it's personal. I said, you are 100% right. It is personal. I don't know of anything in your life that's more personal than your relationship with God. So I've had some experiences there. I've only had, I think, as best I can remember, I've had less than 5 doors slammed in all of these years. Of course, it's got everything to do, not that I'm a professor at this, but how you greet someone, how you initiate the conversation, but has everything to do with it. And then last of all, keep on doing good and commit your souls to the keeping of God. Keep doing the right thing. Down through these years, I've known of many, not counted them, but I know there's been several people quit serving God, quit going to church because they got their feelings hurt. I tell you what, you're going to get your feelings hurt. You live long enough on this earth, it'll be somebody's going to hurt your feelings. Right. Wonder how many times somebody hurt Jesus' feelings. But he kept focused. And he went and did exactly what God the Father sent him here to do, and that was die for your sins and mine. He's our good example. Good example. And then, I want to share this before we go on in the study. Why does God allow you and me to suffer persecution? You know, it looks like I've thought about it, and you probably have too. Why God just doesn't keep a hedge about us, and we just go, you know, and do what we need to do. And he could protect us and keep anybody and everybody away from us, and nobody would cause us to have to undergo persecution. That's just not the way he ordained it. And I tell you something, if we conduct ourselves the way the Lord wants us to do that, we'll grow, we'll mature, we'll be more like the Lord. And again, our walk with Christ, I believe, has everything to do with not getting our feelings hurt. My soul, the way they treated him. Spit in his face. Can you imagine that? I'm a pastor and I love the Lord, but I tell you something, folks, I have to have a lot of the grace of God, somebody spit on me. Now that, I don't know of anything more indignant that you can do than someone do that, but they did to him. But he didn't let it deter what he came here to do. Now, this verse here, or this whole passage, as a matter of fact, when he talks about persecution, we've got to understand and realize that what is going on is nothing compared to what our Savior did for you and me, as I referred to just a moment ago, but this verse says that God allows it for a basic reasons, I said, to test and try and prove us. It helps us grow, helps us mature, and Lord knows we need to do that. But this means at least four things that I pointed out, and then we're going to get into the new ones, new territory. But persecution, let's think about this word for a moment. Measured how strong our faith is. Does. Any person's faith can be measured by how much he's willing to sacrifice and bear up under whatever it may be. Read some stories about missionaries. You probably have yourself. I've heard about some Christians here. I've heard about some preachers that underwent severe persecution. Even within the last 50 years. I'm trying to think of this. Oh, man, what's that guy's name in Texas? He had the children's home. Who is that? Lester Roloff. I'm thinking someone else. But that man had a backbone, I mean, second to none. He went through all kinds of fire. Didn't they ultimately shut the children's home down? It's a long story, but the man never harmed anyone. He just bucked the system. And says, here's what we're going to do. You do what you have to do, and we're going to do what we need to do. Reminds me, you and I were talking about Brother Treber out there in California. They shut them down. But they really didn't. You know that? They haven't shut that church down. Now, they're not going in the building, but I mean the place is jam-packed. They got older people out under tents, and people there, when instead of saying amen, they beat their horns. But there they are, place is jam-packed. That's soon going to be over. There's petition going on now and all of that. I mean, I respect the office of the governor, but he's not God. But they're going on for the glory of God, and he's just preaching fire down. I mean, he's just going on. That's the way it ought to be. You see, them being persecuted, God's being glorified, and they're being blessed. Exactly what's happening. And you know something, folks? You need wisdom to serve God and do right. Now, you know, do you have a temper? Don't nod your head. Don't do anything. But do you have a temper? You better watch out. It'll get you in trouble. It'll get you in trouble. You better just swallow it real hard and go away, get out, get away, whatever situation is. When you do that, you lose your temper. What happens? You say and do things you don't do ordinarily. And who gets hurt? Nobody but you. Nobody but you. Oh, it can be something else now. Let's go on. Persecution proves our trust in God and teaches us to depend upon God more and more. And every time we depend on God, trust God in certain circumstances and situations, makes us stronger for the next time. Makes us stronger for the next time. And God blesses us for being faithful, as you know. You're faithful, God's going to bless you. Hey, sometimes maybe not in the way you think he ought to, but he does bless us, takes care of us. The more we suffer for Christ, the more we draw near to God. And certainly in all of those situations, what do? We plead for his help. We ask him to help us. Of course, this just teaches us to trust and depend upon him, as I said, more and more. Persecution proves and strengthens our patience and our endurance. Most preachers that's been in the ministry is some longer than I. Of course, you know, I'm really getting old. I don't know too many pastors that's been doing what I'm doing longer than I've been doing it. So it's humorous in a way, but I still enjoy what I'm doing, I'll tell you that. But I know some others that do as well. And they're such a blessing, encouragement to other people. Yeah, you see, our patience needs strengthened. Our perseverance and our steadfastness in the Lord. And then the last thing I will say about this, persecution proves our faith and attracts others to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think I mentioned last time, if I remember right, our testimony, and we should not lose sight of this, folks, as we're faithful and we live for God. Your life is affecting someone, and you may not know it. You may not ever know it, but some you may. Some you may. I've told this story, but I'm going to tell it one more time. We were at camp. We had been trying to get this little girl in church. We visited and visited the mother. And finally, the Saturday before she let her come on Sunday, she was outside sweeping the sidewalk off, and she slammed it. I thought, man, we'll get hurt. She slammed that broom down on the sidewalk and said, yes, you'll be ready in the morning. Yes, ma'am. We just left. She got on the bus. She came the next morning at camp, junior camp. I think she was 8 or 9. I'm standing down at the horseshoe pits. And I couldn't see, but I knew it was a child. They walked up and put their arms around me like this. She just kind of squeezed me up to herself. And I turned and looked. And that little thing had a smile on her face. And she said, Pastor Williams, I love you. I don't know where she is now. I have no idea, of course. When you are doing what you need to be doing, somebody might not hug you and tell you that, but they're thankful for you. Folks, don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of that. God wants us to be faithful. And if you and I don't be what we ought to be, where will be the testimony of the Lord in this nation? Oh, it's getting less and less. I promise you that. It's so needful that we be faithful. As we do this, we see that our faith in Christ is a living reality. And these that are watching our lives, our testimony, they're drawn to Christ, to his salvation, to his love, his care, his strength, all of that. Nothing greater in this life will be accomplished by you than being used of God. You can't do anything greater. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, are you listening? But I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. Do you hear that? We're not supposed to love the world, and certainly the world's not supposed to love us. But you know what's happening across America? Churches by the score are falling into that trap and catering to the world. That's why they're getting the crowds, but they're hearing nothing when they get there. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Christ speaking, of course. If I had not come and spoken unto you, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. John 15:18-22. For unto you it is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Philippians 1:29. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's 2 Timothy 3:12. And then in 1 John 3:13, he says there again, another time we find it in the Bible, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Hate you because of what you are and because you don't cater to their whims and you don't do what they do. You don't bow down. You take a stand. Tell you what, with someone mentioned the coming of the Lord here soon, not going to be long, folks, and we've heard all this preaching all these years, not just your pastor, but all across this nation. Going to stand before God one day. Now, we need to think about standing before God Almighty. We are. There won't be no hiding from God. You can pretend, you can do what you're doing and have either a good personality or not a good personality, and you can be stuck up on self, and you can do this and live the life that you want to live and not be what the Lord tells us in his word that we ought to be, and we're going to lose rewards. We're going to lose them. Boy, we need to stay faithful. And then verse 13, let's go back there now as we start new territory, even though I've mentioned it. He says, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Have you ever thought for one second that you have partook in Christ's sufferings? I don't know if I have. Well, I know I have. Oh, I've had some little skirmishes here and yonder, but, you know, and I have to admit, I've been some occasions I've had my feelings hurt. But then all you got to think about is how Jesus bled, then those feelings don't mean too much. Rejoice in the persecution. This is difficult to do. Rejoice in persecution, I'm talking about. For no person likes to suffer abuse or pain of any sort whatsoever. But especially when it's inflicted by neighbors and friends and co-workers of people that don't have anything to do with God, and they mock and scorn and say bad things, and sometimes they'll even curse you. A man told me one time, he said, you come back to my door and I'm going to shoot you. Oh, you know what this is about. I almost laughed. I thought, you know, that old boy might just go crazy as he could be, and I might not get off this porch. They're both gone now. As several months went by, and I went back and went around to their back door. I believe God led me to do that. I really do. With all my heart, I believe it. I don't know who was with me. I guess they were probably said preacher's out of his mind. He's losing it. But anyway, he opened the door, and I said, hold it. You said if I came back to the front door. He said, you can just turn and leave. I said, that's okay, I will, but I said, you know why I'm here. Someone told me just before he died that he made a profession of faith. I pray that he did. I pray to God he did. You know, folks, if you pray for people like you should, You visit them as God leads you to do so. God gives you burden. He gives you a burden to see that person saved. Oh, yes, it's hard to rejoice in persecution. And it hurts your feelings. And I told whoever's with me, I said, isn't it sad to see someone get in that kind of condition? And you're just trying to love them and tell them about Christ and see them get saved. But you know and I know there is a way to rejoice in persecution. How do we do that? By keeping our eyes and our minds on two things. When we suffer, we're sharing in Christ's sufferings. Got to remember that. Got to think about it. No greater privilege could be given to a person than to become so devoted to God that that person would join Christ in the sacrifice of himself to God. I read a book not too long ago about the Conner-ups were in Africa. Their son wrote a book. Started even here in the States when their dad gave his heart to Christ. And I won't go into all the details, but it ended up there in that place. And just to read about some of the things they went through, what they suffered, the squalor, that's the only thing they could do. I mean, it was a sad situation, but boy, God used that family. Soul after soul, many, many souls got saved. But had they given up when they reached that first persecution, they wouldn't have been saved. They wouldn't have known the Lord. To be identified with Christ, who is the very Son of God himself, is the height of privileges, folks. It really is a great reason for joy and rejoicing. When you do the right thing and suffer persecution, it's okay. God knows all about it. And we just keep on persevering. We keep on doing what we know we need to do. I'll tell you something, across this land today, there's a lot of used-to-bes out there. Oh, I used to sing in the choir. I used to sit in my spot every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. What are you saying that for? You're just showing your lack of having the intestinal fortitude to keep on following the Lord. That's what you're doing. And they departed from the presence of the council. Listen to this, Acts 5:41, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Isn't that something? Oh, yes. But when we suffer, we shall be greatly rewarded when Christ returns in glory. Christ in the scriptures tells us that over and over and over again. Now look at verse 14. But if you be reproached for the name of Christ. Now folks, this doesn't, you know, I asked a little earlier, if you had a temper, I kind of left off trying to say to you, I want to help us to understand that people we're talking to, they're human beings. They don't know the Lord. They don't know what you and me know. They don't know that. And so we talk to them about the Lord. But he says more here about when you're reproached for the name of Christ. In other words, you're always doing the right thing in the name of Christ. You haven't lost your temper. You haven't said something that you knew, or the moment you said it, you were sorry that you did, but you lost your testimony. And we don't want to do that. If we do right, there's a price to pay. If we, being persecuted or abused or ridiculed for Christ, yeah, there's a price to pay. But when a believer suffers for Christ, I believe that he's given a very special closeness, a oneness with Christ that's beyond our imagination, and it's inexplainable. I believe that persecution, and for lack of better phraseology, having our feelings hurt helps us to grow and trust Christ more. After all, he was the one that left you and me an example. So, if you're going to do right, you're going to tell the truth, you're going to be uncompromising in your walk with Christ, you're going to suffer persecution, sure as you're breathing. But if we're not really careful, and we don't follow the Lord's command as we should, and stay in this old book, folks, we lose our testimony. We lose, as a preacher preached here years ago, we lose our want to. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Just think about all that Christ has done for us, is doing, going to do. Oh, we need to just keep on going for the glory of God.